Tonight we're going to go to the 24th chapter of Luke, and we're going to look at two sets of people here, and we're going to leave a couple of things out because this is a pretty long chapter, and I'll see how it develops. And it's very important in this passage that we pay attention to how we see Jesus and how we pay attention to his word. How we see Jesus and how we pay attention to his word. Again, how we see Jesus. It matters. If you don't see him as someone that speaks the truth, whether you like it or not, if you don't see him as one that can tell you the future because he's in contact with God, you don't see him as he is. If you don't pay attention to his word, if one does not pay attention to his word, he will find himself in stress he shouldn't be in, problem he shouldn't have, missing out on encouragement and comfort that he should have, and lastly, at the end of his sharp rebuke. That will be covered in this passage tonight. So, sometimes I forget to talk about Theophilus, but since this is the last chapter, let's bring Theophilus back on the scene. Theophilus is getting this information about Jesus and about the lifestyle he's choosing to live. At the time, they called it the Way. Not the Way International, but the Way of Jesus. And if you will, without me talking anymore, let's start reading and getting some of this juice.
Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them.
One of the things that Ann and I was going through last night when I was reading, and we spent a lot of time reading over this, and there are some parallel passages. If you read something called Harmony of the Gospels, mm-hmm. You'll find that in the Harmony of the Gospels, there are some that say they came at sunrise. You'll find another one that said that they came while it was dark. And so what we see is the key to understanding this passage is understanding when is the first day of the week. When does it start? The first day of the week would start what we call Saturday night. After the sundown of the Sabbath, Friday evening till Saturday evening, that started the new day. I don't know exactly what time he rose. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't rise immediately when the day started. I haven't got enough juice yet to tell you exactly. There's someone that has studied this better than me, Dr. Rabbi Scott Sekulow. He says that it is at the very time that the day started. I can't prove his point yet, so I won't make it. I can't disprove his point yet, so I won't disprove it. But I can prove the point that the scripture said it was early the first day of the week. I guarantee you it was definitely not Easter sunrise. In all of the accounts, thank you, Aunt Ruby, in all of the accounts, it's always before the sunrise. In all of the accounts, he was gone when they got there. Therefore, he rose, I believe, in the dark. Why is that important? Why is that significant? Because of the fact a lot of people, when they think about the burial and the crucifixion of Jesus, they want to say he was buried on their Friday evening and he got up Sunday morning, and that's 3 days. You don't have to do a lot of math to realize that you got to do some real hard wrangling to make that be. But I need to read one other scripture. I really did not want to, but I knew that once I started talking about this, I would probably have to deal with it if it came up that way, however I felt I was moving. And the scripture that I'm going to read, and read that in your version, I'll read it in mine, and then I'm going to pull open my Greek text to show tense. 28:1, Matthew, please. I'm going to read it in mine. I'm reading the Authorized English Version. It says, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Now, when we see that, you will not see that Sabbath as it is in the Greek text. Why am I bringing up the Greek text? To sound like I'm deep? like I have some kind of magical powers. There are a lot of people that can read Greek. I cheat. My computer does the work for me. But in the morphological, this will let you know whether something is singular, plural, noun, verb, preposition. It's important in this particular passage to see if that Sabbath there is singular. So it says in the morphological text that this here is a noun, genitive, it belongs to something, it is plural and neuter. What that means, at the end of the Sabbaths, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. What does your version say?
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre.
The reason that I brought up that it's Sabbath, we've discussed this when we were reading, I believe, in the 23rd chapter, that they were trying to get everything done for the day of preparation. As Ann and I have gone through that, it has become not only apparent, but it's documented that the day of preparation is the day that the children of Israel, as we're going through the book of Exodus, kill the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and all of this. This is the day of preparation for them to eat that meal that night and leave. The day of preparation is the day right before the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, it comes after the Passover. You have the Passover here. Next day, Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the first Sabbath. It doesn't matter which day of the week it is. It could have been on what we call Monday. It could have been on Tuesday. It could have been on Thursday. It would be a Sabbath. Now, if it was a regular Sabbath, then it's still a Sabbath. The first day of the Unleavened Bread is a feast. And then the seventh day. So there's two Sabbaths that are not counted as what we call Saturday. So that means 2 weeks back to back if the feast day came in the middle of the week. Does that sound confusing? I know it could. And I know that this is kind of hard. But if I can explain it this week way, every week they had a Sabbath on what we call Friday evening Saturday. But this week, the Use the numbers. Okay. On the 14th day of Abib and Nisan, they had two calendars that they used for the Jews. That's when the Passover would be. So the 15th would be the day, the first day of Unleavened Bread. 7 days from that would be 21. Someone would say, 15 and 7 is 22. Not when you're counting the days. So the 14th comes in the week. The next day is the 15th. That's a Sabbath. They were trying to get Jesus in the grave on the preparation day so that they would not defile themselves during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So they got them in, him in there, and then there was a Sabbath. After the Sabbath, we see that as you go through the scriptures, they went and bought spices, and they prepared spices to use for what Jesus was doing. What was he doing? Paying the sins of the world, really just being dead, and his spirit and soul somewhere else because his soul is not left in hell. They come to the tent, to the sepulcher at the end of the Sabbaths. Now, my thoughts are is that it was Wednesday, and this is so hard, and I know it is, but I'm going to say it one time, and if you don't get it, ask me to bring you a chart next Monday, Sunday. Wednesday for us is Wednesday. We consider that to be the third day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the fourth day of the week. If at the end of Wednesday, that's the beginning of their fifth day, okay? Don't let me get wrong now, Ann. If at the end of Wednesday, this is what we would call Thursday, that's when I would say he was killed. At the end of Thursday. At the end of Wednesday, which is Thursday. That means if he's dead Wednesday evening to Thursday evening to Friday evening to Saturday evening, those are 3 days. That would have been the end of the second Sabbath. Because from Friday evening to Saturday evening, when he got up Saturday evening, That would have been the seventh day for them. I mean, the seventh day of that Saturday, and then the end of Saturday, which is the seventh day from us, is the first day of the week. It's hard to see, but to make a long story short, it's two Sabbaths. But as confusing as it is, because we don't go evening to morning like God did in Genesis, the evening and the morning is the first day, the evening and the morning is the second day, we lose it. And for me to beat it down in and out, I went over 2 or 3 hours. As a matter of fact, I was disagreeing with her, wouldn't go along with her. I said, draw it. She drew it and I drew it. And we had the same thing, Drew seeing it the same way. I'm not the only person to say this. I just need you to see that it was more than one Sabbath. Because if you're reading along with us, you will say, wait a minute, some of the other Gospels use it differently. I needed to make that point because I wanted to make the point that Jesus is going to appear to them and make an announcement. I said, we need to pay attention to who Jesus is when he appears and his word. And let's go back to Luke. I know I belabored that longer than I wanted to. But if I leave it on the table, I don't think it's good. Maybe one day I'll just do a CD and just spell it out. And probably have to use PowerPoint too. Yeah, for real. Okay, so we at the end of the Sabbath, this is happening. And the point that I wanted to make is the first day of the week. This is after the second Sabbath. That's all I wanted to make the point of. But I think I can make it make a little sense. And that should be no more boring talk from my mouth. Go ahead, Ann.
And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre.
Now, the Pharisees and the chief priests, it came after the Sabbath, that was which came after the day of preparation. They came after they buried him. That was the Sabbath because that was the feast day. According to the way the scriptures work, they either came there that same day in the Sabbath and demanded a stone to be rolled in front of it. Now, they could have done it the same day, but the stone shouldn't have been rolled there until after the Sabbath. So the stone was rolled in front of the tomb. And so they've come after that. See what I'm saying? That was a Sabbath, and then the stone is rolled there because they went and asked Pilate and begged that a stone would be there. They've come, and they found the stone rolled away. So that's a lot of time has taken place from verse 1 to verse 2. Go ahead and read, please.
And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus.
3 days have taken place. Please read.
And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments.
One of the amazing things when we look in the Word of God, we find that the Word of God is big on giving us history. We find that the Word of God is big on showing that Jesus keeps his word. We find that the Word of God is big on showing that Jesus is who he is, and therefore his word must be paid attention to if we want life. If we don't want life, take his word and throw it behind us and say, we don't care. But if we do care, it's very important that we honor God's Son. John 5 said God the Father wants us to honor the Son as we do the Father. So now, Jesus has been, excavated. Jesus has risen out and he has gone from the tomb. And the women are perplexed. Had they been paying attention to the things that he said, the way that he said it, the perplexity shouldn't be there. I submit to you that the reason that many of us have problems in our lives when we hear God's word, or when we try to carry out God's word, or when God's word come to pass in our life, case in point, when we reap what we sow, when we didn't sow what we should have, the perplexion shouldn't be there. The Word of God is full of warning and is full of encouragement to show us how to live, how to function, how to be productive so we can live forever. But when things go wrong or seemingly wrong, we have a perplexed attitude. We get upset sometimes. And often it's because of our lack of understanding who he is and what his words say and how we should fit in with that. Please read some more of the Word of God.
And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead?
Now that is an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing to me. You would think that they would say something else to the women. But what they did was went to the heart of the matter. What is the heart of the matter, Tim? I would say to you that the heart of the matter is this. Why are you seeking the living? Talking about the Christ, among the dead, why? Why are you seeking him? In other words, what you are doing right now shows your lack of trust in him or paying attention to what he said. What you're doing right now is showing that you are perplexed about something you should have no perplexation about, if I can use that as a word, because I put an A-I-T-O-N on it and that made me a noun. You should not be perplexed about this. This should be something that should bring you joy. That any areas in your life that you have come short on, any areas in your life where you have failed miserably. I had a conversation before we talked them tonight. I failed miserably in life. Ann has failed miserably in life. My daddy has failed. My mama has failed. Aunt Ruby has failed. Different. Well, I don't know a man yet that has not failed. If I did, let me shake his hand. And why didn't you tell me how not to fail? Because they didn't pay attention to what God wanted and seek it out, they had failed in the expectation of the joy that they would have had. Do you understand what kind of joy they could have had? He's up! Oh, my God! He did it! He did it like he said. Oh, it's going to take long now. He said the kingdom of God is at hand, and now he is raised from the dead. God accepted his sacrifice. All's going to be well now. It's just a matter of time. But because they did not know, perplexation came into their heart. Remember that word, okay? I mean, write it down. Is that I invented perplexation. Now, here's the thing. You have men standing here in shining garments. What would you do if you walked somewhere and you saw somebody standing in shining garments and they're not the little Christmas-like things that people put on sometime with their little costumes? These men in these shining garments, many times that is used to talk about something that's like light, that glistens. The word there is astrapho, to lighten or to flash, or it's dazzling. They recognize these men to be what we would call messengers or angels. And they are in the room and they're talking, two of them. And they bow their faces to the earth, because they recognize that there's something special about them. But the angel said something that I want us to think about for a minute. Let's divorce ourselves from the passage for a minute. And let's take the words out of that context, rip them away from it, and just think about it for a minute. Why do people seek the living among the dead? Why do people seek a living relationship with dead people? When I'm talking about somebody that does not benefit you, somebody that cannot add life to you, somebody can only bring you turmoil and pain, look at the life that they're already living. Why seek you the living among the dead? Why would you go to a church where the pastor's already got three or four girlfriends or three or four boyfriends? He's not living like God say live. Why would you seek the living among the dead? Why would you come to somebody's company that only makes $100,000 a year and you need $150,000 a year to live? Why are you seeking for something to benefit you that's not there to start with? Why be stupid? Why seek truth from a liar? Why seek growth from something that's stunted and will not grow? When I talk to somebody and I'm talking to them from God's word, rest assured I've already analyzed, can this person grow? If you can't grow, I'm not going to go and tell Josiah to go in there and cook me a turkey burger. Not at 2 years old. Maybe at 3 in the microwave. Mama said no. But I'm saying is why? Did you all allow me to rip that away and see that that's a very important statement? Although the context is, why seek you the Lord of glory, the one that raises the dead among the dead? I'm just saying that principle is something we should think about when we get in a relationship, when we're dealing with family, with friends, taking a job. Don't seek the living. Don't seek productivity. Don't seek that can help you grow among that will not and cannot bring life. Bless God forever. Amen. Let's get back to the context now. Number 6.
He is not here, but is risen.
Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee.
He's not here. Why y'all look? See the angels. Peter said they desire to look into the things that we're doing, that God is doing. The angels already know who he is. Even the demons, they're like, "Did you torment us before the time?" I'm not pushing the envelope, as it is called. Don't you know they were in shock that God came here in the flesh for us? And he let little nasty humans spit on him and lie on him and curse him and hang him naked on a cross? Don't you know that they must have really been somewhat in shock? Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet alive? Don't you remember what he said in Galilee? We knew. You didn't see us when we heard what he said. But we know. We know somewhere, somehow what he said. Read number 7.
Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again.
Mm-hmm.
And they remembered his word.
Now, here's the beautiful thing. When you fall short of paying attention to what Jesus says and who he is, it can make you be perplexed, but it doesn't all the time make you have to do wickedly. It can cause you pain. It can cause one frustration. It can cause you to have to get a correction that you didn't expect. But correction that leads you to understanding what God wants for you and what he wants you to know is a beautiful thing. And God provided that for the women. Notice the women. Aunt Ruby. Women, if that Bible verse right here had been written about me, my daddy, Gary, Tommy, all the men that I know in this neighborhood growing up with, we would have been somewhere else hidden too. Obviously, it wasn't about the men coming there. I don't know what it was about the men. Some were hiding, some were afraid. It was the women that were there. How dare someone not understand that Jesus did more for women and that the gospel elevate women to the position of prominence? They're the first ones that are there, other than the angels. I don't think that's insignificant. Only a fool would think that's insignificant to somebody that's reading from a small point of view in the scripture. Read some more of the sweeted word of God, please.
And they remembered his words.
And then they remembered. How many times have we gone through things and felt bad, felt pain, saw our children go through things, seen ourselves go through things, and we remembered God's word, what he really wants from us? Just don't take forever to remember. That way you can do something about it quickly. Well, they remembered his words, and what, Ann?
And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. And to all the rest.
Those women were proclaiming the gospel. You know, you hear people talk about Mary Magdalene. She was the first preacher. Read this passage, and all of them was going to tell them that he was raised from the dead. That we got the word from an angel of God. We got the message that he's gone. He's raised from the dead. The stone is moved. Glory to his name. You all are still perplexed. You all are still scared. You all still don't remember what he said and how he lived his life. But we know something. And we feel it's our duty to tell you. The gospel is the most meddlesome, I think, of all of the religions that are out here insofar as being blunt about it. Others will meddle. Other people, they want to force their religion on you. They want to either force you, don't say anything about what God's word say. They want to force that on you when God said for you to say it. So they want to force you to be quiet, but God says say it. Schools force theirs. Your friends will force theirs. It's a world view. It's a world that's set up competing ideas about what's really going on in the world. And here the women are proclaiming the truth of the gospel. I think it's absolutely fantastic. That's one reason that I believe the scriptures even more. I don't think I would have wrote that about me, that me and all the guys together, we were sitting up after the game and stuff. We were still scared. And then the women, they went to see. But we didn't. We were afraid. I don't think I'd want to write that about myself. But I would if it was the truth. Read on, Ann.
It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the
apostles. We don't even know how many women it was. It could have said other women and men. No. Other women. I may be looking at three women right now that would have been there. We're gonna bring some cookies and some tea too. We're gonna have to have something to eat, you know, and it might be cool out there early in the morning. So I got the thermos and I got a basket, you know, cause we're not just gonna leave him there. Cause they say the spirit stay at least around 4 days, and I just wanna be in his presence. You know, but the men, read please.
And their words seemed to them as idle tales.
And to the men. This could have been an Oprah moment. And to the men, it seemed like idle tales. Like these women babbling at the mouth. These women just run it off at the mouth. They just... It's like they just idle. You hear chickens cackle? It's like they're saying the women were just telling idle tales. Now, you got to picture this. The women didn't come and say, well, we went to the sepulchre and the stone was moved. And we saw a couple of dudes there and glistening like light. And they said that he's risen from the dead. Oh, why seek you the dead among the living? It wouldn't have been like that. No, it wouldn't. It would have been more so like every one of them had just won the lottery because they all had bought the ticket and the machine messed up and everybody hit the lottery and then he's raised and the angel said, hey, why we seek the dead among the living? It would have been, oh, they would have been trying to ho, ho, and they would have been trying to calm them down. Mm-hmm. Remember that the women are the ones that were crying, and Jesus told them, don't weep for me. Mm-hmm. Weep for yourself. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Just letting you see how God cares for women. And it's the beautiful thing to see them reciprocate. Please read.
And they believed them not.
And they didn't believe the women. So you didn't believe Jesus when he said it. You're not believing the angels that told the women. And you're not believing the women that told you what the angels said that Jesus had said. So you're not just disbelieving the women. That's why when I tell somebody, when you try to counsel somebody or correct them and give them the right information, don't let it just be you. Let it go back on God. Let them refuse to hear God. What do you mean, Tim? The women told them and they didn't believe them. Did they not just believe the women or did it go back further? It had to go back further to the angels, right? But the angels said, this is what Jesus said. And it goes back further than that. It goes back to what the scriptures had said. I submit to you that when you give somebody God's word and you're telling them what is right, trying to help them see Jesus and help them see his word, they are responsible now. The men didn't believe them, but I give them credit. The Bible doesn't say that they say, you know what, we're going to go smoke us a cigarette or get us a beer or something. What did the Bible say they did?
Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass.
Well, Peter had denied him those times and we had already cried, and he ran. Fear's gone now. They took the Lord. I'm getting some of my juice back. They took the body. That's not good. And the Bible said he ran. And John talks about when he ran with that other disciple. John got there first. And Peter's the one went in. And this one is saying he looked and he's still wondering what it come to pass. I don't know. And it pauses right there and goes to scene two. What's scene two say in this passage?
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus.
Now, when you say two of them, where would you understand where the two of them come from? You know where I would get the two? I would get, that's right. I would get that from verse number 9. They went to the 11 and to all the rest. So now we got two of them. Two of them what? Men. Okay, read it again, Precious.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs.
About 60 furlongs, go ahead.
And they talked together of all these things which had happened.
And they talked about the sadness and the disappointment. We had looked at Jesus. And we had believed his word when he was around, in as much as we heard. And we saw what would happen. How our leaders, how our men of God had treated him. And how he just took it. And we didn't understand. I mean, we've seen him calm seas. We heard about the things that he's able to do. How he feeds people. How the dead get up and walk. But he died and didn't get up and walk, as far as we know. So we're talking about it. Please read.
And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. And went with
him. Oh, bless the name of God. I didn't know I was going to do that. I almost broke into song. Let me tell you why I almost broke into song. My mind just, Aunt Ruby, just went there to just thinking, what about if when I'm talking to somebody? What about if when you're talking to somebody, although it may be something that's a little disturbing, although it may be something that's a little disappointing, and Jesus comes and joins in the conversation, that he comes up and you don't even recognize him, but he's there judging your conversation. Do you think that he doesn't really do it? Jesus said to the people one time, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Here they are talking. Here he is joining them, and they don't even know that he's there. It is so beautiful. Now, I need you to read that 16th verse slowly.
But their eyes were holding that they should not know him.
That was beautiful. I like the way you did that for Tim. Let me tell you why I had her to do that. You see, the Watchtower and Bible and Tract Society out of Brooklyn, New York, better known as Jehovah's Witness, they like to use the passage in Mark where it says he appeared in another form. And they say that Jesus manufactured a body. This wasn't his real body that was there, because Jesus was raised a spirit body. He didn't have a real body. So when it says their eyes were holding in Luke, it lets you know that they were not allowed to see that it was still him. Same thing when you read in the Old Testament. It's not new to God, let somebody's eyes be holding. There was a time when Elisha was out there and they were at war, and Elijah was calm and he was at peace, and the little young guy with him, he's all worried, they're going to get us, too many of them. And Elisha, according to the scripture, the Tim Merritt version, it's very close to the original. It's probably close to the autographs as you can get. He started working on Elisha's nerve, and he's like, Lord, please, please just open the boy's eye and let him see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he looked around, and he said, they that with us are more than with them. He started seeing those supernatural horses, those celestial beings, but they were there all the time. But his eyes had been held back from seeing. So that word, withholding, it means to cause or to state, or to cause a state or continue on the basis of some authority or power to hold or to keep. He kept from being able to see what was going on. And if you will, take us a little further, Precious.
And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? And are sad.
Now, did I say they were sad? Did it seem like I was making it up and embellishing it as people think that I do? No, I already had read ahead. I already know what was going on there. Read it again, Ann, because it says a lot about how they had seen Jesus and listened to his word.
And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are saying?
If they had believed what Jesus had said, if they had believed what the scripture had said, they wouldn't have been sad. They would have been overjoyed. They might have been sad about how he was treated, but overjoyed at what was accomplished. But here's another one, Aunt Ruby. They had the women. The women had came. The women had came and told them. The women that came and iterated. Do you think that the women came and told them what the angel had said and told them that what the angel had told them what Jesus had said? And the Bible said they remembered what Jesus had said. And you think that when the women were telling them, they didn't also tell them what Jesus had said? I don't believe it. I got a wife. And when I have a problem on the short bus, and I don't fully understand, and she does, that seems like that's her job to make me understand before I mess up something. Now, here these men are, the women came and told them. They know what Jesus had said because the Bible said they remember, didn't it? And here these men wouldn't listen. Some men won't listen to women, and that's their pain, and that's the chagrin of their family, and that's the chagrin of many churches. I'm not saying all women should be listened to. Some should be listened to and avoid what they say. Get the word out. Please read.
And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things?
Wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that beautiful how Jesus did to daddy? You was only a stranger in Jerusalem? Man, what been going on? All these things been going on up in here in Jerusalem. You don't know what's going on, dude. And Jesus said, what things? Go ahead. You're going to make him open up. So you're talking to him like he doesn't know. You're talking to him like he's the ignorant one. You're talking to him like he's not paying attention to the times and how bad things have gotten now. And you're telling him like, man, you don't even know. What? You don't even know? And Jesus says, what things? Please read after you get through laughing.
And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. When I grew up, I used to hear people, I actually thought, I was having a laugh inside of my old head. I used to think it was Lord have mercy. You know, like ham that you eat. Because I used to hear people say, Lord have mercy. That's what I really thought it was. But here is the place where you really need to see ourselves in this picture. We need to understand this is what he's showing Theophilus. Let's look at what is right here, and then let's see what it means to us. So he says, what things? Let you see how they saw Jesus. We see him as a mighty prophet, almost like the Muslims. Maybe he's good as Elijah. Maybe he's good as Elisha. A mighty prophet, indeed, and word before God. Did you really see him as he was? I think not, if you only see him as a prophet. Did you really see his word or hear his word as it was? If you still say he's just a mighty prophet, you missed something. But it says, our chief priests, our rulers, our religious leaders delivered him and condemned him to death and crucified him. And we trusted that he was going to redeem Israel. We had a way that we thought if Israel was going to be redeemed. And there's no way that we see that he can redeem Israel being put to death. Irrespective that he had told them that I'd be crucified and raised the third day. And then, they said, besides all this, is the third day, the very same day that Jesus had told, and it didn't come to their mind. But here's another indictment that they make, that we didn't see Jesus as he was. Oh, we saw a lot. We heard a lot. He said, yea, and certain women also of our company, they were with us. People didn't really realize that Jesus had women. They made us astonished. They were early at the sepulcher. You tell them the strange that the women were there, but we weren't, but I guess that doesn't matter. And when they found out the body, and they said they seen a vision of angels that he was alive, they were told us that they saw visions. I told you that those women weren't just talking. They were telling them something. They told them about the angel. They told them that the angel said that he was alive. I guarantee you that they said, remember, remember, remember. But we didn't listen. Can I add that on there? Yeah. All right, I add that on there. And certain of them went to the sepulcher, some of the men, and found it like he said, like the women said, and didn't see him. But the point is, if you miss this part in verse number 17, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? You haven't believed me. You haven't seen me. All these times I've raised the dead. All these times I've told you what the Father said. All these times I tell you I'm coming back with my holy angel and separate between the wheat and the chaff. All these times that I've told you that if you live and believe in me, you will never die. All these times I told you if they destroy this temple, I'll raise it in 3 days. You haven't really seen me as who I am. You think I'm just a mighty prophet. I make prophets. I make the dead rise. John 5:29. At my voice, he told them that when he was living. The day that the Son of Man speak, the dead is open up, and the one that have done good to life eternal, and those that have done well to everlasting damnation. But you didn't believe me. And take me to the bridge, please.
Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
I want you to read that in your hard voice. Because I believe he said that. I believe he said that with sadness. I'm going to do it after you. I just want us to do that like two or three times just so we can feel it.
Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
These men have just said we didn't listen to the women. We're not paying attention to what they said. The women have told us they saw angels. They're not coming back sad. No, they didn't. You can't tell me they came back sad. They came back with an expectation of hope. They didn't see him, but they came back with an expectation of hope. You're walking around sad. Oh, fools! Slow of heart to understand. It's a good thing Jesus didn't use expletives, isn't it? It's just like, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You didn't listen to me when I told you. You didn't recognize me. I told you what the prophets have said. You didn't listen to the women. Ought not Messiah or Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? This is a great day. This is a beautiful day. He's entering into his glory. And verse 27 caps it. Give it to me.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
It doesn't matter if your mind is ready to follow God, if you didn't understand what you were supposed to know and what you were supposed to do and how you were supposed to act and function. The thing is you got a chance now when I'm telling you what Moses and the prophet said about me. Listen to what you're supposed to know, walk with it, and let's get it right now. The time is now. Yes, you failed. You failed to listen to me when I told you. You failed to listen to the prophets. You failed to listen to the angels. You failed to listen to the women. Now, let me explain it to you one more time. And he started with the first five books, Moses and the prophets. And he started opening up those scriptures. No doubt, I bet that he talked about when God told them to take a lamb. Take it on the 10th and observe that lamb 4 days. And I bet you he told him at the end of that day when you would kill him. And then you would have your holy convocation. I bet he explained to them that he was the Lamb of God. Why do you think that, Tim? Because John had already said it in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. I guarantee you when he told them, I told you before, I'm the light of the world. Look at me now. You remember when I told you I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm look at me now. And he could go back and show him in Isaiah 26 where it said, your dead shall rise with my dead body. Oh, yes, he did. He could go through the scripture and show him explicitly how I'm going to come back and I'm going to tread the winepress and then I am going to bring an usher in the kingdom of God. He expounded to them all that was written in Moses about him. Do you realize in Moses it talks about a creator in the first verse? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. If he explained to him all that Moses had said about him, that would have been one. If he explained to him when men got so wicked and he judged the world, that would have been one. If he had talked about the time when they were going to build a tower to heaven and God said, let me come down, that would have been one. If he had talked about when I talked to Abraham, that would have been one. I could go through on and on and on and on and on. And Jesus preached that sermon to them, but they were called fools. Because you said and you heard me and you had an expectation of what you thought I wanted and what you thought I was and you didn't let me tell you who I was the way that I am and you missed the boat. I didn't say you were wicked, but I say you're a fool. You're stunted in your growth. You are like what they call an adult child, ADDULT, I believe it is. Please read.
And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further.
Just sit back and watch like he was going to go further. Go ahead.
But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened.
It's a beautiful thing that when no matter what happens, no matter where you are, that the Lord Jesus gives you another chance to finally see him, to finally hear him, and that the day come that he has to correct you the last time before your eyes are open. What a beautiful thing when the last time comes that he has to help you to see who he really is and what he has said. And he sat down and broke bread with them and their eyes were open. Now understand he had already opened their ears with scripture. Understand he had already opened their spiritual eyes to understand what happened with Christ, but they didn't realize yet where he was. Please read.
And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Last verse.
And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Did you see that? Did you see that, Pop? Did you see that, Mom? Before they really saw him, they saw what the Word had to say. I believe when one sees what the Word of God has to say, it sharpens their mind to see him. Well, somebody said, well, Tim, this was because their eyes were holding. Excuse me. Yes. And I believe it was a good point and a good reason. I think if they had known who we were to start with, they'd have been so excited. And the very thing that he had taught them in the scripture wouldn't have the same effect. I'm going to tell you what the word of God says again, and let your mind be open to the scripture and let you believe before you see. Because I'm going to rebuke one person because they won't believe until they see. But I'm going to allow you the opportunity to hear. And hear the word of God and open up your ears and your understanding of what it is about what Jesus had to go through. You might not know how. You might not know where. I submit to you that when he broke that bread and God allowed their eyes to be opened and he vanished. I don't even talk about it now. Mission accomplished. You got the word and now you see me as I am. I guarantee you, you don't just go and call me a great prophet, mighty in word and deed anymore. Bet you that. Bet you. Got any takers? I guess not. When are we gonna allow the scriptures to be open to us and to our families so that they can see Jesus? He's more than just a prophet. He's more than just a good man. He is the Savior of the world. He's the judge of the world. He will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. He's going to mete out the rewards to those on the left side and mete out the reward to those on the right side. And for those of us that don't see him as he is and don't hear his word as he is, woe be unto us. Woe! But to those who have been fools, slow of heart, to understand all that the prophets and Moses and the Psalms and the things that's been given down by the apostles have said about him. Those of us who have been slow, we better just get our mind right. Let's ask him to open our eyes and understanding to the scriptures in specifics how to apply them to our lives and to the lives of those that we encounter. So that we have the opportunity to truly see Jesus and we can pass it on like the women were doing. My last comment on this is, when all of them finally got to where their eyes were open to the scripture, when all of them fully understood and saw him as he was, guess what happened? The book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke wasn't there. The book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of John. And there's another man that got to see him named Paul. We get Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, etc. We get the Gospel of John. We get the book of the Revelation. Why? Because once they saw with their eyes and ears spiritually what the scripture says and saw him, John gets so happy about it, Aunt Ruby, in 1st John, the first epistle of John, said that which was from the beginning, which we have looked upon, and we and our eyes have seen, and our ears have heard, and our hands have handled the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we did see it, that eternal life that was with the Father, and had been manifested to us. This then is the record that we heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John said, we seen him, we touched him, we know what we're talking about. That's what we need to be so that we can say those scriptures that you read, those passages you read in the Psalms or whatever, let me help you to understand. Let me help you to understand who they're about. Do you see something in my life that you didn't see before? That's Jesus. That's the word. This is what God wants me to do to you, to give you the message so that your life can be better. Why? Because there's only one way to not be a fool. Understand the word of God and see Jesus as he is. That's my message for tonight. Do we see him as he is? Do we trust his word as it's given? If we don't, we got work to do. But as long as you have breath in your body, and as long as you can catch H1N1 or any other kind of communicable disease, you're living enough that you should be able to get and catch the word of God and let it take over your life and let it just take over you like that old man that they called Bishop T.P. used to say, just like the drunk man drank the liquor and it take over, drink this word in. Let it burn. Let it flow. Let it make you stagger into righteousness. Let it make you stagger into wisdom. Let it make you stag into when you need to be separated. Let it make you stag into no compromise. Let it make you stag into helping people do right for their sake. People think you correct them because you like it. No, it's because I see something happening. The more you get into God's word, the more God will pull back a little bit and you can see somebody's dirt and you can kind of see what God getting ready to do or how he want to bless them. That's it. I'm through. Father, thank you for your blessed eternal word. It's righteous. It's holy. And then I come up here and I teach it and it applies to me and I can be one fool, I can be a fool slow of heart to understand. There's always some area in your life Satan wants to hurt us. Backside, left side, front, child, parent, job. We need you. We need to know what you have said, what you have modeled, and what your scriptures say about every situation that we're in. Open us to scriptures. Help us to see you so that we can be the kind of people that can be productive for you in this wicked world. And that we can spread what you want spread, righteousness, the peace of God, and the love of God in a wicked and an ungodly generation. I ask this for us in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Even so, amen.